John chapter 14. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about to approach the Word of God now. And I thank you for speaking to us this morning and giving confirmation as to what I'm going to be talking about. Father, I pray that everyone hears what I have to say, bonds to it, and is much better off because of it. In Jesus' name. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Actually, the word mansions is not in any text. The translators put it there. But really, it reads this way: in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, just predicated on those two verses, we know that he wasn't referring for the church to get into a position where we hang in there until we go and join him in heaven for our mansion. That is not what he was referring to, because why would he say, I would have told you if it were not so? Well, it was obvious that if you go to heaven with, if you've received him, you go to heaven with him. They knew that much. But what he was doing is he was saying, I'm going to go and prepare a place so that you live in that place now in him. And if you follow in light of the text, he goes into the Holy Spirit and how he's called to be with you forever. And so really what he was doing, he was setting him up to let him know that once he gets to where he's going to show them how to live where he's went. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Again, if this was referring to waiting till we get to heaven, then you could also say that these three verses are referring to death. And they're not. Right. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. Notice what he says now. Where I'm going, you know. And the way you know. That where I am, there you may be also. Well, how many of you know that he wants you to be where he's at now? And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, that concept is lost pretty much. Other than, you know, the solid Christian church. But nowadays, everyone is coming up with the concept that there's a possibility that there are many ways to God or the kingdom. Matter of fact, there was a man who passed away just shortly on the radio, and he made this statement. He says, if you think that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you're so little and narrow-minded. And when he said that on the radio, I said, you got that right. You can't get more narrower than that. And I remember mocking the signs that you see on the freeway. Those signs that says repent, you know, and things like that. And he mocked them. Well, I hope he changed his mind before he went to the other side. But I guess he has to face the reality of what is truth when you get to the other side. For he didn't find it on this side. So when he talks about, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, actually abodes, places that you're to live, it's important. How many of you know that it's important right now, more than ever, to to understand what it means to walk in the Spirit and to be led of the Spirit. They're two different things. See, a lot of people always thought that being led of the Spirit was the same as the walk of the Spirit. And that's not true. The walk of the Spirit is the revealed will of God, that which is very clearly made evident that you're to walk. It is literally the Word of God giving you His revealed will so that you can walk on purpose in it. But when it comes to your personal life, there's where it gets real personalized. There's where you need what we call a leading of the Spirit. Because the leading of the Spirit is more of a daily thing, where a walk of the Spirit is more of a development that takes place in you through the will of God so that it can cause you to walk on purpose, past, present, and future, progressively, walking forward. And the Lord told me, you know, when I was hearing about all these shootings and people dying, and this one young lady who had a phobia or a fear of going someplace and being shot by a pistol, by a nutcase. It actually took place. She actually died from a guy who was doing a lot of shooting. And so it came to pass for her. But she was not a saved individual. She was not a believer, as far as I know. But anyway, and you hear about all the tragic happenings to brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then you look into Scripture, and Scripture is very plain how important it is, especially in the latter times. And we've covered a lot of Scriptures that speaks of the last days, and how dangerous it is. People, we are living some very dangerous times, but we can't order our whole life centered around the danger of things, because then that makes us a prisoner of fear. Amen? But I do feel that it's important today more than ever that we learn what do we require so that we know how to be not only walking by the Spirit, because it's pretty easy to find what it means to walk in the Spirit. But still, for many, that's very difficult. But at least you're not doing it in ignorance. You can do it on purpose by finding His will for our life. Did you know the book of Proverbs? If you just read the book of Proverbs, you could succeed in life just following it. And the wisdom, and get understanding to go with the wisdom, you'd be pretty successful. Amen? And so we got the book of Proverbs. The word Proverbs means ruler, standard, to be like. And so if we have the Word of God and we have the wisdom of God, that's a pretty good way to walk. Amen? But when it comes down to a specific direct leading in your life, daily, there's where being led of the Spirit is so vitally important. It's a proven fact now that more and more, there's a percentage increasing, that more and more, even young people, and more middle-aged, are thinking more about retirement than anything else. Thinking about putting money aside. Matter of fact, I talked to one and he had no concept whatsoever of what it meant to be led by the Spirit of God. Do you know you could plan until you have an E-Trade stamped on your forehead? Could get up in the morning, go to a grocery store and lose your life. What good is your E-Trade doing you? What about 401k? I never read where you could wake up in the morning and you're protected by your 401k. But yet people believe that. But that don't stop a bullet. That don't stop a wreck. That don't give you a leading of the Spirit. The only thing that leads you to is old age, and you never have to work again. Voila. How exciting. Now, is there anything wrong with planning for retirement? Absolutely not. The book of Proverbs even says to do that. But if that's all you're consumed by, then what do you do for the evil that is present today? You know, we have the privilege of planning for retirement. But I'd like to have a leading of the Spirit to get there. How about you? And so I think that Jesus, when he emphasized in Scripture very plainly at the last of the last days how important it is to be led by the Spirit of God, he must have had a reason for it. Amen? And so it is important that we learn how to follow a leading of the Spirit on a daily basis. But you cannot do that without fellowship with him on a consistent basis. It don't have to be daily, but you have to have a time in your life where you shut out the cares of this world and sit down and talk with our Father. On a daily basis, fine. On a weekly basis, fine. But be consistent with it. Remember, one of the benefits about a consistent prayer life is that he's your rear guard. He'll let you know things ahead of time that are very important for your walk today. Even with people. You need a direct leading with people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And years ago, it was revealed to me, Ezekiel Wheels. It changed my whole concept of my walk with my Heavenly Father. And so when Jesus said in John 14, he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you to live. He was literally now going to fulfill something that was available clean back in Ezekiel's time. And that is how to be led by the Spirit of God in this earth. And when I started seeing that, my life began to become more steady, more at peace, more comfortable. Even with that which is uncomfortable, comfortable. I'm so at peace now. And I used to never be that way. Boy, I'd be upset about it. I got my staff to even bear witness with that. They were so gracious to me. A lot of times they wouldn't let me know anything was going on because they knew I'd get emotional about it. But I'd like to think that I'm more calmer now than I was then, right? I mean, well, it's because I learned to be at peace if God leads me. To be at peace if God's leading me. But you know how many people are not being led by the Spirit of God? They're not even walking by the Spirit. Paul said, you're to desire to walk worthy of the Lord. And you have to have a desire to be pleasing with him in all things. And all people just don't even know what that means. Well, if you can't walk in the Spirit, I got news for you. You're not going to be too good at being led by the Spirit. I've had people come to me and tell me a tragedy they had in their life, and I already tried ministering to them way before the tragedy ever hit, and I knew it was coming, and when it came, they'd act shocked. Well, I realized then that's how they hear the Word of God. They never bond to it. They hear it. They take in the information, but they don't bond to it. Now, how many of you have given friends warnings you could see coming on the horizon for them? How many of you have seen people like that? And so you share it with them, and then it comes to pass. And then they come back and say, I guess I should have listened to you. How many likes I should have listened to you? I hope nobody likes it. I like, wow, I'm sure glad you shared that with me. I missed it. I didn't get it. Hallelujah. But Ezekiel Wheels is very interesting Because it represents something in Scripture that most of us never really think about. I'm going to quote you the Scripture first, because it'd take too much time for you to go to all the Scriptures, but I'll just quote the Scriptures to you. And to give you an idea how these Scriptures relate to Ezekiel Wills. In Job 31:6, of course that's not a good book to go to some of us. Let me be weighed in an even balance. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. How many of you, well, I haven't been seeking to please him. If you haven't been seeking to please him, don't think about the fact that you could be an abomination to what you're doing. Never mind, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. Proverbs 20:23, a false balance is not good. Job 31:6 again says, let me be weighed in an even balance. The word balance here in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. It's referring to a pair of scales. And the idea of a scale literally refers to something that many of us never caught. It's referring to two ears. Two ears? What's two ears got to do with a good balance? And it dawned on me what he was saying. Or to hear with both ears. So if your hearing is hearing nothing but that which is negative all the time, some of you might know what I'm talking about. Hearing a negativity all the time. You better make sure you balance that out with something that can equalize it. Have people ever tell you a scenario that seems hopeless? I've had people tell me scenario. Me and John, the scenarios that seemed utterly hopeless, but way beyond myself. And it disturbed me, and I went to the Lord, and the Lord says, well, you better go ahead and get back into my word and balance that out. He says, because I'm a part of your life, I'm not a part of that situation. And he says, no matter what might come that's beyond you, you're in a place that the world's not in. And I will see to it that I take care of you, because I'm still Shalom, the God of your peace. I'll go with that. Because it can depress you if you let it. But I want to balance. If I'm going to have a whole lot of negativity, I'm going to have a whole lot of positivity. I'm going to balance that out. Praise God. It means to hear literally both sides of the story, to balance it out properly. Because, you know, if you're left to just vain imaginations of something that you can't actually put fact to. Now, there's some things you can put fact to. But you know what? You got to balance that out by hearing either the antidote or something positive that can preserve you in it. Amen. So when he talked about a false balance, then I asked the Lord one day, I said, Lord, how am I going to be able to balance all of this out? And he says, well, if you understand how to be led by my Spirit, he says, things will balance themselves out perfectly for you. And I was reading one day Ezekiel's Wills. And I don't know if you, how many of you ever read Ezekiel Wills? Was it kind of confusing?
Yeah.
Yes. When I first read Ezekiel Wills, the first time I ever got you guys ever get a protractor set with all these little holes and all these little metal things and everything? And to me, it was the most complicated thing I ever looked at. And then when I looked at the instructions, me being a little kid at that time, I didn't want to mess with the instructions. I mean, they're too complicated. And so I just didn't bother messing around with the set. Matter of fact, I think it disappeared somewhere. I don't know, maybe somebody took it from me, I don't know. But it was so complicated that I didn't figure it out. But I had heard of a man who had sought the Lord, and he was shown supernaturally the interpretation of Ezekiel's wheels. And when he shared it, I was so shocked, I bore witness with the whole thing, that God even fine-tuned some of the areas that he didn't cover. And how many of you know, if God gives somebody something about the Word of God supernaturally, and it's of God, how many of you know that's still like God speaking to you? And so I said, you know what, Lord? This is you speaking to me. And I received this, because what it did instantly it began to show me how to walk almost daily and not weekly and monthly and yearly and old age. Now I'm there, but anyway. To where each day can be a good day for me, can protect me and cause the joy of the Lord to be a part of my life. Now, if you will, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. And we're going to have a wonderful journey here, because I hope it has the same effect on you that it did me. And I thank the Lord so much for revealing it to me through this man's dedication, this man's time. I don't waste time on people that I know are not believers. Isaiah, what did I say, chapter 1? Or Ezekiel chapter 1, I'm sorry. I'm over here in Isaiah. Just a minute, we're going into the Old Testament. I get lost. Here we go. Thank God for thumb tabs. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. And on the 5th day of the month, which was in the 5th year of King Jehoiakim captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And when I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of the midst, like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And what he's referring to here is the glory of the Lord. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles, I want you to take notice of this, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. And they sparkle like the color of burnished bronze. Boy, that one stumped me for a long time, because this particular guy didn't bring out the meaning of these calves' feet. And I got thinking, what in the world is he referring to? Calves' feet? Like burnished bronze? I'm thinking, could you imagine seeing a calf with burnished bronze feet? What would you notice about that? The feet. I saw a vision of a calf with those feet. And the feet stood out above the whole calf. And they were calf's feet. They had the hands of a man under their wings. And on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion. And on the right side, each of the four had the face of an ox. And on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and the two covered their bodies. Well, let's take a look at the identification of what he was trying to show Ezekiel. Because all this is referring to how to be led by the Spirit of God in a balanced situation of your entire life. Number one, calves' feet. You know what's distinctive about calves? They're like little children. They don't have a planned way to walk. They just dart all over. Like little Ezekiel. You let him down. That little boy, he does not have a planned destination. It is called going all four directions, whatever looks good, get into. There's no direction. He just clamping around. And that's what calves' feet are like. They're just giddy. They don't have any planned direction. And guess what? The way they do walk is very noticeable. They had the hands of a man under their wings. This is symbolic of humanity, the labor of humanity. And on their four sides, and each, the four had faces and wings. Now, their wings touched one another. This is symbolic of each one that touches the other. And the creatures, they did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. In other words, he was showing them the meaning of this vision was to obtain a determined direction for a time. Now I want you to notice this. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion. And on the right side, each of the four had the face of an ox. And on the left side, each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and the two covered their bodies. You know what this was talking about? This was talking about these creatures. When it talked about the wings that were stretched up, touching each other, and then the two that covered their bodies, this was called a purpose from heaven by the activity of the Spirit, the wings, and also the earthly direction, because the wings also touch the body. So he was saying, and he was showing Ezekiel how to be led by the Spirit of God through four aspects. The man means the activity of natural life. Matter of fact, I wrote it down here what he said. The man, Adam, son of earth, natural responsibilities, family obligations. The lion is kingdom authority, spiritual gifts and ministry. The ox is a man's labor, and the eagle, the spiritual dimension of a man's life, his prayer. The activity represented by the four faces, the face of the eagle was the only one that had wings that signified that face, other than the wings that were with the other parts of the faces. Very interesting. So we find that the four aspects of man's life involved his natural responsibilities, his kingdom authority, his labor, and also the spiritual dimension of his life, which I believe is prayer. Because we're going to know something very interesting about an eagle. He's the only one that continually looks up, and he's the only animal that can look in the face of the sun and not be blinded by it. Did you guys know that? He's a part of our life that when we stay focused on the sun, we never lose direction. So when he says, and each one went straight forward, they went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like, now watch this, was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of torches. Fire was going back and forth among the living creatures, and fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. So we see part of Ezekiel wheel, meaning as long as it was directly connected to heaven itself, it had a distinct direction. But all of a sudden, the creature themselves, when they were darting about like lightning, you know what that means? It means that those four living creatures did not have any direction or pattern to their life. You didn't know where they would end up, strike or light. When a believer is not being led by the Spirit of God, you cannot determine what direction he'll end up in. You cannot determine the outcome of the four aspects of his life. You don't know how it will end up. And I got some shocking news for some of you people that work for a living. Did you know that God also wants you to balance out even your work with him by letting you know that if you include him in a direct leading of your labor as an ox, your labor, the way you do things, you will be even successful on your job and not hate it, nor disdain it, nor allow what could come across your path not to follow the leading of the Spirit in spite of your employer. I wasn't even stable in that area. The ox of my life was pastoring. And I wasn't even steady at that because you all were nasty. Now, the thing about this verse 13 is the fact that this also represents the glory of man in the earth. Then he goes on to say, and the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning without divine guidance. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth and beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their works was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness of the appearance of their works, was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And they went, toward any one of the four living directions, and they did not turn aside when they went. But as for the rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and the rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. And in our prophecy today, she prophesied about having the eye of God. These circles, which had high rims, were peppered with eyes. And then there was a wheel within the wheel, which is talking about the vocation of each creature within that wheel. And the wheels were placed beside the creatures, which literally mean this represents a direct leading of the Spirit for that particular face. Wow. Wow. And when they went, they follow any one of the four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. And as for the rims, they were so high, they were awesome. And their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And whenever the Spirit wanted to go, they went because there was this... because there the Spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheel. And when those went, these went, and when they stood, these stood. And when they were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheel. And the likeness of the fermentation above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched over their heads. And when we get into 22 down to verse 28, because we don't have time to go into all of it, I'd like to take time. But basically, it is giving a description where their leading is from. So no matter what phase of their life they were in, these particular ones that were given direction were being directed by God, a leading of the Spirit, because that person was within that wheel. And what they were doing is that no matter what phase of your life that you're in, you should feel very peaceful and very comfortable at the fact that if you are in a situation where you're working for a living rather than ministry, then follow the leading of the Spirit where you're presently at. And quit this mentality of sitting back and saying, I will wait till things work out before I do something, because that is not following the leading of the Spirit. It is following the leading of the Spirit where you're presently at, where your hands are presently at, hallelujah. Whatever you find your hand to do, do it. Do it with all your might as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the ox is a very interesting. You want to clear a stall out? Put an ox in it. It'll clean it out. How many of you know that? Because what it does, it treads out things within that stall. It'll, are you following me? It says, don't withhold your giving to God. That'd be like not feeding an ox when he's in the stall. So I thought this was very interesting, all four of these type of people that are part of our life. And how the Lord wants to be a part of it for your direct leading all the time. But a lot of us, we lose the concept of God where we're at presently. And I am convinced that you can have the leading of God no matter what phase you're in. The thing that grieves my heart is how many believers are living very dangerously because they don't have a consistent type of prayer life. It bothers me. It's like saying, I want to live in a fallen world. I want to live right on the front line of death and have no weapon or protection. That's what it's like to me. If I didn't have a prayer closet, I don't know how I'd live from one day to the next. And then we want to know why we get into the trouble we get into. Take a look at your fruit. Why did you get into that kind of fruit? It's because you abandon your post, allowing God to move in that phase of your life. You know what? We need to get a revelation that without God, we're hopeless. With Him, we're not. Somebody asked me, he said, why does 1 John use all these words repetitively? And I says, repetitive? Yeah, why does he remaineth, remaining and all? And I says, to get a point across. A lot of people doesn't know what it means to remain in something. You know something, when you're not remaining in something, it's because you're ignoring it. I know, Sue keeps me remaining. And so when I got the revelation of all of this, Ezekiel, I wish I had time to go in and explain in every detail. It's so beautiful. But I began to realize what really excited me was the fact that because of Ezekiel's wheels, God is telling me that He can cover every aspect of my life if I want Him to. If I don't want Him to, then I can be careless. If I was on the front line of battle with any of you, and you had no weapon, you had no armor, you had nothing but yourself, and yet the commander told them to protect me, I don't think I'd like that kind of a protector. I think I'd want somebody that's capable of protecting me. Amen? Well, that's what it's like if God isn't going to be a part of you. If He isn't touching every aspect of you, that's why those wings touched. God has to touch every aspect of your life. Somebody's saying, I ain't got fired. They ain't firing me. No, you disqualified yourself. Rephrase that. What? You disqualified yourself. Yeah, they performed the extraction, but you're the one that made it available. Oh, what time is it? Is it time to go? Am I feeling led to leave? About now, yeah. So I said all that to say this. God wants to be in every aspect of your life. Plug into it. Plug into it. You know, anymore, I don't know about you anymore. I was just telling Sue, I got to get settled in even before I take a vacation. I got to settle in my spirit. What do I need to take care of? What do I need to emphasize? What do I need to look for? Because nowadays, when you leave your house, you better have a house center. You better have plans. One brother said, every single time I go on vacation, my house is robbed. I don't understand it. I said, when was the last time you prayed? Oh, I know I got to pray. I know I got to pray. Well, you know what? God intends for us to go on vacation and have a good time. But He intends for us to also be in the Spirit on it. Not to go and leave ourselves vulnerable. Especially when you get on the freeway nowadays. It used to be you'd run across cars alongside you. Now it's these semi-trucks. And you feel like you're in a big, huge volcano vacuum of some kind. Rather than... I meant just life is too unpredictable. But life is very predictable when God is in every aspect of it. When God is in every aspect of it. Hallelujah. The activity of the ox is completely controlled by who or what it is yoked to. The employer determines your activity. Your time and energy is given over to him in exchange of your livelihood. The employer is the one who controls your activity, but as believers, we are not to be unequally yoked. And so even though I'm not working for godly people, I am supposed to still be yoked to a godly man called Jesus. And He shows me how to put forth my best for that person because He's paying for my time. It's amazing how many of us have cut the throat of our own employer that has done us so well. We need to stop that. We need to say, thank you, God, for providing that job. Thank you, God, for providing those people to perform a living for me. I've done what I was told to do. I have never had an employee ever come to me and say, I want you to violate the Word of God. Never had an employee do that to me. Now, their principles violate the Word of God, but what has that got to do with them providing what? A job for me to perform the way that I should perform on behalf of what they're paying me for. How they do principles, that's up to them. But how I am to walk in the leading of my spirit with that employer. Or otherwise, if you really don't like what they do, then quit the job and go someplace else. don't use them. The world uses people, not you. I might add, some of you need a job.
Well, you just don't understand the circumstances or situation. Well, then argue with God about Ezekiel. He can lead you. He can give you a job. Hallelujah. Boy, Christianity gets very hard on a person the further you go with God. It seems like you're demanding more.
Okay, now that I've really helped your Labor Day weekend, I'm going to go ahead and release you all for the Labor Day message. Praise God. But you know, I think God is really beginning to get to the place where He's trying to fine-tune us for that leading of the Spirit that we're in today, more than ever, what we realize. Actually, the eagle, the dimension of a man's prayer life, the eagle is the only bird that can stare into the face of the sun and yet not be blinded by it. The eagle is the direction of God. The eagle's face seeks His face. The lion sees his prey, but the eagle looks into God, face to face. The eagle is the only face that has its own wings. The activity of the eagle is specifically controlled by the wings of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural prayers without human effort. We soar on wings of worship and pray in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Our devotion catches the current of God's direction and flow, and the activity is entirely Spirit-led. That's what he wrote here on this one. Boy, I like that one. Hallelujah. A very important part of our life is of God being a part of the eagle of our life. Hallelujah. Well, did you guys get something here today? Wow. Thank you, God, for Ezekiel's wheels. They work today just as they did then, back then. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the church being in a place that no one else is in. Father, that while we're in a fallen world, a world that can go beyond us in its scope, but in our life with God, that is not so. Because when we stay connected with heaven as we live in earth, we are supernatural. We are not mere human. But Father, we have a leading that the world knows nothing about for our particular life. And Father, as we close this service, if there be anybody here that has never said, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to receive you as my Savior, my Redeemer. Well, we'll just give you permission to come forward and to receive Him. Hallelujah. And if you have received Him, but you can truthfully say, my life just seems out of control. I know Jesus, I received Him, my Savior, but it just seems like all hell constantly breaks loose in my life. And I want peace. I want to know the God of peace, shalom. I need that leading of the Spirit. Then we want to pray with you. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need the baptism of the Spirit. You need it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you need healing, you can come forward. We can lay hands on the sick. If you want to be healed, we can lay hands on you. Hallelujah. Right here, honey. Kind of have a feeling what you need. Anyone else, just feel free to come. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Okay. We're going to go ahead and prepare to dismiss you. If you would like to stay and pray with these loved ones, feel free to do it. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you pray for the sick, sometimes you get healed yourself just for praying for others. Hallelujah. Dear Father, I thank you for the wonderful people that have come today. And Father, I thank you that I gave them a lot to labor over this Labor Day weekend. So Father, even though they're not being productive on the job, may they labor. May they labor yoked with you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.